Welcome all of you fellow arcanists out there to the Frith Guild podcast, where we explore an amazing world full of mystical creatures and their partners. Our hosts are Eric Smith and Scott Wareham, and they'll be your guides along this journey through death and dragons. So grab your eldrin, strap on your swords, and get ready to defend the Argo Empire from evil. Throughout this series, if you have not caught up to the chapters being discussed today, we urge you to hit the pause button, grab a copy of this wonderful book, and catch up. We'll be here when you get back. While Ilya purchases a new dress for the gala, Bulk wanders the Moonlight District and meets Karna, an exotic dancer, who convinces him to bring her to the gala as his date. Bulk intends to attend the gala dressed in his slightly shabby street clothes, but Ilya rescues him from himself by ordering him clothes from the dressmaker as well. Returning to the inn, Master Zelfry doesn't allow Bulk to rest and instead has him leave on an urgent errand to see Adelgis's father. But before we get into the book, let's look at a piece of advice from the series. Step 19 on the Pillar of Ruma says humility. Without it, our pride becomes an obstacle to happiness. With that, let's join Eric and Scott for chapters 26 through 30 of Colosseum Arcanist.
Hello and welcome back to the Frith Guild podcast. I'm your host, Eric.
I'm co-host Scott.
And today we'll be diving into chapters 26 through 30 of the Colosseum Arcanist book. Now, again, before we get started here, we want to thank everybody for listening and would like to ask everyone to show your love for us by liking, commenting, sharing, rating, whatever you're able to do while you're listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube. We also want to make mention that on the Frith Chronicles wiki link is in the description, along with the link for the Capital Station Discord server. So if you're ever wanting to join in the fun over on Discord or any further questions about different mystical creatures, then you'd be able to go over to Frith Chronicles wiki. And I know once the Mysteri book is released, I believe the wiki will be updated shortly after. So definitely have more up-to-date information there. And with that, we'll get into chapter 26.
Chapter 26 is Thiessen Venrover, the Artificer of Elios. Adelgis, Volk, and Zelfry are going to meet Thiessen. Volk is very troubled by Fane's comments about Zelfry and trying to figure out on his own whether to believe Fane. Does he believe Zelfry? Is there any truth to these? So he's struggling internally, and right next to them, Adelgis is also struggling internally, and he's worried more because he's able to hear thoughts now. And what is he going to hear from his dad? And if Thiessen was my dad, I'd be scared of hearing that as well.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to know. Just can you turn that switch off, please?
Yes, but some things are better left untouched. So they arrive at the Artificer building. It's very clean, except for a pile of trash in the corner. And as we talked about a few chapters ago, Thiessen's Eldrin is a trash dragon. So I would have to guess that the trash is his trash dragon. Thiessen comes out and Zelfry gets into a shouting match with him, confronts him, and Thiessen ends up agreeing to remove the leech. He says that it needs to bond shortly after being removed. As this discussion is going on, he actually offers for Zelfry to join him, which Zelfry is very, very opposed to doing. The pile of trash does turn out to be the trash dragon. and I can only imagine how awful it sounds when it moves, because it is a bunch of scraping and scratching. It has to be awful. Not at this moment, but we do find out kind of shortly in the near future that it can actually speak. It actually communicates via telepathy, which is very cool and unique for dragons.
Especially like Eldrins in general, because like everybody's Eldrin talks.
Yeah, it's very, very rare to see. So very cool, very interesting. Zelfry ends up storming out of the lab while they're waiting. Adelgis is okay. Felicity is communicating. One of the few other Eldrin that can communicate through thoughts. She's in touch with Adelgis. She finds out that Adelgis is okay. The leech was removed.
I just want to talk about how absolutely cold Thiessen is towards his own son. Like, no hug, no, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in forever. Like, what's going on? No. Oh, your leech is ready to come out. Let me go get that taken care of for you. And shoot, he's more concerned about getting the leech out of his own son than he is about his own son. Like, eh, he'll be fine.
He says, I have one leech, but I've got like three sons.
It's savage.
It really is. But that's almost his mindset, is that like, I can't afford to lose the leech because there won't be another one. But the leech is removed, but Thiessen isn't back. Adelgis isn't back. They're still in the back room, I'm assuming going through post-op procedures. Volk is wandering around the lab and ends up seeing a few documents in the lab about creating artifacts. And one of those is actually a letter from the librarian who is telling Thiessen that Eventide came back to talk about the runestones and was wondering if they could actually be recreated. And Thiessen says there's not really enough magic or enough knowledge to be able to do this. Thiessen finally returns with the leech and talks with Volk about how important it is. They are actually able to manipulate magic, and the plague is a manipulation of magic. So the leech is a possible cure for the plague, which is more important than what Gilly's doing, because Gilly is really treating the symptom with the trinkets. You know, they can't be truly mass produced because they require star shards and the Wendigo horns. But if the leech can cure the plague, then that would solve the problem for everyone.
Yeah, he also almost like treats her as if she's way beneath him, which that's just him in general. So not surprised there. You know, like, how dare you even compare me to her? Speak about her, you know, and me in the same sentence, you know, trying to compare us.
Very high and mighty.
Yeah.
Thiessen, as part of his magic with his Eldrin, he can sense the type and power of artifacts, and he can actually sense the shield. He doesn't quite know what it's made from, but he can tell that it's poorly made. Not surprising, since Volk had never made an artifact before. He thinks that he could help Volk fix it and make it a whole lot stronger.
Even when he's like, oh, this is so poorly made, and Volk's like, yeah, that was my first thing I made. He's like, no, it wasn't. Like, there's no way. You definitely did not. Like, bullshit.
He called him. Volk's like, I did it. What do you want?
Right. Volk was just like, you know what? You're not worth my effort of trying to argue about it. So just whatever.
Finally, Adele just comes out of the back room. He's practically falling down the stairs. Not in good shape.
And he does try to like straighten up and show that he's not limping or hurt, at least in front of his father. But like, first off, there's no post-op. You tell me that there's no meds? Like, are they just this badass that they could just go into surgery, have a leech removed, and not be like struggling really badly afterwards? I mean, he is, but like, nobody's like, oh, here's some healing magic or potion or tonic or whatever to help you out and recover a little itsy bit. No.
Yeah, this thing was attached to your organs. It's not like on top of your skin. They had to cut in to cut it out. It is major surgery.
Give the guy something.
A couple of Tylenol, at least.
Motrin, you can change the socks. You'll be fine.
There you go. Cures everything.
Don't forget to hydrate. Hydrate is the most important part.
Tea's great. That brings us to chapter 27, and this involves them still in the lab and making their way out. And again, Adelgis is very, very concerned that his dad will harp on him for not standing up straight and walking right. So he's really doing his best to hold it together, but he pretty much needs to be carried by Volk out. His brother Nero walks in, and one thing that Volk notices is that his Arcanist mark on his forehead isn't super defined yet, which means that it's newly bound. So whatever his Eldrin is, and Volk doesn't recognize it, it is a very recent connection. Volk and Zelfri end up taking Adelgis back to the inn. He's slowly getting worse and worse. They decide to take him to the university. Gilly's there, and there's a lot better resources. So they're hoping that they could find some way to help him out.
We just say that we're given instructions by Zelfri before he left Thiessen's artificial place of, don't leave without me. And here we are. Like, Zelfri got back and was probably like, you son of a bitch.
Nobody listens.
Why does nobody listen?
Zelfir actually talks and explains a little bit about what Adelgis is suffering from. So one of the things is that when you bond with an Eldarin, it almost shares and lives off of your soul. Your soul heals itself. So as long as you're only bonded to one, there's no harm done and you kind of both benefit from the relationship. But if you try to bond to a second one, it becomes too much and it eats away on you and you actually die because your soul gets eaten away. And what Zelfri suspects happened is when the leech was going to be removed, the leech was feeding off of Zelfri's soul. It wasn't going to kill him because it needed him to live. But when it started to be cut out, it likely took a big bite. And that's what Adelgis is suffering from, is a sudden loss of a lot more soul than he likely can handle. So Zaxus ends up showing up to try and heal Adelgis. He's not able to do much. And when he talks with Volk about everything, he's really spending all his free time with Ilya. So that relationship skyrocketed real quick.
Zaxus is a Phoenix Arcanist, right? He got them flames going real fast. Hot and fast.
Addie shows up and she's talking with Volk and says that she actually did learn how to heal. She spent some time alone in her room and was able to figure it out.
She shows him by pricking his finger and then healing him. Like, okay, that's fair enough. You know, she knows that a little prick isn't going to, you know, be too dangerous for him. So, but that was kind of cute that she's, I want to show Volk first. And Volk's sitting here thinking like, oh gosh, like we're alone. We're having this conversation. And I can only imagine it clicking in his brain of, oh God, Fane's probably following me. And he just kind of talks out of nowhere to nobody. Just, hey, I'd really like some privacy here. You're basically telling Fane to GTFO. Daddy's probably like, what the hell is going on?
Things Volk's crazy.
It reminds me of Harry Potter, the second book, or I guess the movie more so. You know, they're in Hagrid's hut, and oh, if anybody needs answers, just follow the spiders. And everybody's sitting there like, who the hell are you talking to?
just no one. Just
speaking my thoughts. A bit of information out there, you know.
And next to show up is Hexa. She ends up going to Volk and shortcutting everything and asking if he will go to the gala with Addie because she doesn't think Addie's going to ask. And Volk tells her the truth and says, hey, I met Karna, who is from the Moonlight District, and she's amazing and she can sing and dance, and I'm going to go to the gala with her.
And Hexa just starts dying laughing, like, you're bringing a whore to the gala. And again, Volk is so naive that he's probably like, no, she's not. She is a singer and a dancer, and she's not like that. She is not a lady of the night, okay?
Poor Volk.
He's probably like, how do I keep ending up in these situations?
One more girl that I got to deal with. And that brings us to chapter 28, which is the Queen's Gala. And Volk is preparing to go and ends up cutting himself with the razor from William. Luckily, he heals super quickly, so it's not a big deal, but he does have this sense of pride from using the razor and thinking of William.
Imagine him walking out of the hotel with a bunch of toilet paper stuck to his face.
I've shaved before.
Imagine Carnaby is just like, oh God, I can't believe I have to go to this. What did I do?
So luckily he heals. Luckily he heals. Because Karna does show up in the carriage and he mentions that it's his first date.
And we actually realize that the driver is the exact same person that lured Volk into the show to begin with. So is it a coincidence here?
Man of many talents.
I guess so. I mean, maybe he's her personal bodyguard.
With his beer belly. They get to the gala, and of course, the puppy Arcanist that they were getting into a fight with earlier are there, and their dates insult Karna, and Volk didn't realize she was a lady of the night. This is news to him, so he gets upset, and he's not even upset that she's a lady of the night. That's her choice, but he's upset that all Arcanists don't have these high moral standards that he read about in all his books, which I thought was funny because he's dealt with pirates. Someone created the plague. He knows quite a few people. They're just not nice to Karna, and that's their failing trait. But he is willing to risk his reputation for her.
At first, Karna asked him if he was embarrassed, and he said yes. And she was totally expecting him being embarrassed to her. But then he's explaining how he's embarrassed about his peers and they're acting like they were. And maybe Volk was upset because the Arcanists that he's meeting at the gala are not the pirates. They're not the ones that were creating the plague. So he had this expectation of, I would say, non-questionable moral as the Arcanist, as quote unquote bad guy. So he just assumed that all Arcanists that were not bad held themselves to higher standards. And that leads us into chapter 29, Justice or Revenge. Karna was so absolutely surprised that Volk stood up for her the way he did. She wanted him to dance with her. And Volk feels kind of this magic in her touch, and he does a double take on her forehead just to make sure she doesn't have an Arcanist mark.
And no mark, but there's definitely magic at work. He loses control of his body, and he's moving not of his own choice.
Red flag a little bit, but she takes him out onto the dance floor, and Volk's just like, look, I don't dance. Like, I got two left feet. Like, really, I don't have any feet for dancing. She takes the lead, and they're just crushing on the dance floor, doing the Dougie and the cha-cha slide here, and everybody stops what they're doing and staring at them because of how just insane that they're doing. And it's a very fast-paced song. But once the song gets over, Karna takes him somewhere private upstairs, and she leads him there, knowing exactly where she's going with him. And she finally reveals her Arcanist mark.
And she talks to Volk about it and says that she usually hides it because then she gets to see people's true nature. So people like the puppy Arcanist, she understands right away that they aren't living up to the highest standards because they would treat somebody lesser than poorly, you know, even regardless of whether she is actually an Arcanist or not.
We do find out that she is a doppelganger Arcanist. Knowing how the Highborn, I've been listening to ACOTAR lately, so sorry. Gotta realign how things are called. The Arcanists, they're higher above everybody else in Thronehold, at least, treat those that are mortals like they're second class citizens. And so it makes complete sense why Karna wants to do this and doesn't want people knowing that she's an Arcanist when she first meets them. She talks about justice and revenge, and Volk talks about how justice is meant to right a wrong, and revenge is to cause suffering, to right the wrong, but then go further.
This is actually, he quotes the pillar again. So going back to his home with the steps on the pillar.
He's like, keep it.
My day ones.
So she tells Volk that she really wanted to embarrass Volk, and not necessarily Volk personally, but assuming that he was going to be a pompous Arcanist. She does this because she was embarrassed in front of others before when she was immortal. She kind of explains why she did what she did. Then she takes control over Volk's body again after she touches him. Again, she's a doppelganger Arcanist, and you know she's meant to steal something and blame it on Volk. Was going to make it easy for herself by finding some, you know, asshole Arcanist to have him embarrass her, and then she can go and, you know, steal something and blame it on that Arcanist.
And Volk is slowly realizing through this conversation, she gets to the end of it, and I just picture him going, wait, I'm the Arcanist you were going to hurt? He should have picked up on that right away, but he's going along his merry way until the end of it, and then it's like, man, that would have been rough.
I like nodding along like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And then he's just like, oh, wait. She escapes and lets Volk go afterwards. She does this like backflip thing off of the balcony into the gardens below, which was pretty badass in my opinion. And she's probably wearing heels or something, so I can't imagine the easiest of landings here. But you know, women that do that, you know, especially with all the superhero movies and stuff like that, I applaud you for that. So Luthier said that Volk finds himself in more interesting situations than Mathis ever did. Luthier never had a clue that Volk was being controlled by Karna.
And you think the dancing would have been like a key that something's going on. He had to have known, like, I've never seen this guy dance before.
Right. Like, especially when Volk was saying, I can't dance. Like, I'm telling you, I cannot dance. Not trying to be coy or like, oh, like low key about it. No, he's like begging her that he cannot dance. So we move into chapter 30, Thieves. And Volk kind of goes back to the party, gets himself. Got to straighten everything else out because she's starting to tear, you know, tear clothes apart and make it look like things got hot and heavy. And before rumors start floating around, you know, at least he fixes himself, makes himself presentable. He goes over to the food where everything's laid out, and Zax is just sitting there just shoveling food down. He's trying to eat all the food that's available at the gala. And honestly, I think he would have surpassed hobbits eating. I think he would have given Goku a run for his money.
Shoveling it in.
Yep. Nom nom. He offers to give Volk some tips on keeping his love life low key.
Because he and Ilya keep it classy.
Zaxus notices that Zelfri has prefers lords over the lady. Zaxus makes a chop that Zelfri probably likes the bookish one. Volk's just like, redheads, actually. And then I can only imagine the look on Zaxus' face when it clicks.
I'm a male redhead.
And then he's probably like, oh, shit, that's why he wouldn't train me earlier.
That's going to go to his head.
Volk kind of ventures out to outside of the gala. He kind of wants to get some fresh air. And he realizes at this point that he's actually got three shadows. He's got his own shadow, he's got Luthier, and now he's got Fane following him. And I wonder, again, with Fane watching this whole shindig with Karna and her practically like throwing herself at Volk, what Fane was thinking. Like this dude really not going to do that. Like, good for him.
Good for him. Fane better have some popcorn or something because he's getting all the good.
So, do we have any conversation about how the birds and the bees work? Or he's probably thinking, man, I don't think Volk swings for that team now.
No.
Probably not sure about that.
A lot of questions, at least.
So Volk finds Zelfri and he starts to make some small talk with him, and Zelfri's like, just shut up. Stop getting into my personal affair. Traces makes a joke about how husky a Hydra Arcanist voice sounds and that they could pull a sleigh with how husky it is, their voice is.
And I love that Traces is just a little matchmaker off on the side. I'm like, you should go for him. She is having a great time with this.
Like, I'm going to do as much as I can to help him out.
Yes. And the other funny thing that comes up is Volk tries to tell Zelfri what happened, and Zelfri's like, oh, I know it already. I read it from your thoughts, which means Zelfri got every detail.
I'm surprised Zelfri didn't get blushed by that.
It's a lot to hold on to.
Right. Like, or at least, like, say something. Like, I don't know if I could hear that in your thoughts and then just walk away with it from that.
He's got a great poker face.
Right. So then all of a sudden, and I'm gonna probably butcher the crap out of this name, Vercingetorix, and Shammy does a really good job of saying this name versus what I said, but Vercingetorix activates the Null Stone, which is the sovereign dragon of the queen. We find out that there was a thief, and all Arcanists are going to be held while that they ensure that they catch all of the thieves that were in. Volk was kind of like, we know it was Karna. She told us she was there to steal something and blame it on him. So Volk just asks that, you know, can't he find her by, you know, his magic as a mimic? And this is where Zelfri explains that doppelgangers can actually hide their magic even from mimics. We find out that Adelgis is getting even worse with no sign or hint on how to cure him. this is that distraught feeling of just you can't do enough, that Adele just is fighting, and unfortunately he just, nobody can do anything. Zaxxas is trying to heal him, Gilly's trying to heal him, but nothing seems to be working. So through the crowd, Volk does spot Addy, and Addy comes up and asks if Volk could believe that there was a thief in the castle. Now, I feel like this is where Volk could have made some huge points by being like, yeah, you for stealing my heart.
He had an opportunity and he missed it.
Like, perfect opportunity. I went home that night and was like, dang it.
That's what she was looking for.
Well, she does say that she was searching for Volk the entire evening. So, I mean, Volk, you got to be hella smooth now. They're leaving together. They're going to take a trolley together. He compliments her dress. Like, he's hitting all the points here.
He's like, learning.
Even though he brought a girl from the Moonlight District that was trying to steal something and pin it on him, happened. But, you know, it is what it is. She does mention that he doesn't compliment anyone else so often as he does compliment her. First, Volk was like, well, everybody compliments you. Like, that's just you. She's like, but you don't compliment very many people like you compliment me. So I think that's Addie's way of throwing some lifelines out to him. Come on, catch my hint. Dang it. The last remark we get from their interaction is that Addy thinks that Volk can totally beat Zaxxas and wants to see him win the whole tourney.
A lot of confidence.
Like,
something's brewing.
Oh, dang. Like, Volk, why didn't you ask Addy to the gala? Come on, man. And this is where we leave off on chapter 30 of this book. We're going to dive into our bestiary section here.
The first one we're going to touch on is the Denglong. So mythology, this does come from Chinese mythology. We're going to avoid pronouncing the Chinese version of it. It's really at the top of the food chain, and it's known to be able to take on 5 dragons at one time and is often depicted feasting on their heads. Its trial of worth is a demonstration of righteousness. It is actually considered tier 3, so a tier below dragons. And it is fable born, so it's born from a falling star that strikes a mountain. It's described as being unwavering in its morals justice. It has front claws shaped like talons that are able to rip through the scales of the dragon. We don't know much about its magic other than its passive abilities being immune to fire.
Yeah, this is Growlithe.
Yes.
This is totally Growlithe. And when it gets bigger, after it's been bonded, it turns into Arcanine, and I will fight my true form. Die on that hill.
It's a true form.
Yes. True form is Arcanine. He's a good doggo.
Yes.
All right. And then the next mythical creature we're going to go over today is the doppelganger. The mythology comes from Germany, and a doppelganger is German for double goer. It was said to be a wraith and an exact spirit double, and these were signs of bad omens because when you've seen your doppelganger, it's supposed to imply your imminent death. Their trial of worth is a deadly question that is asked by the mother of all shapeshifters, and we will not elaborate on that until we get later on in the series. This is a tier 2 confirm, so we've gotten some confirmation with the tier of this particular mystical creature. Its reproduction is progeny, so it is, again, created by the mother of all shapeshifters from bodies who fail her trial of worth for the mimic. Their evocation is able to confuse and muddle thoughts. Their manipulation is they're able to manipulate humans. So they do have to actually physically touch the Arcanist to take control of them. And it's more so their gross and finer motor skills. So they can make Volk dance really good or keep him from talking. Their augmentation, they can alter their appearance in any way to include their Arcanist mark. So they can change into any human appearance that they see. They cannot change into animals, but again, any human form. And they can naturally hide their magic against magical detection. So again, mimics wouldn't be able to sense that magic. They do have an aura, which is imposter, and it nullifies all magical detection and can kind of change other people as the doppelganger sees fit. So if they wanted to make somebody bigger, stronger, faster, they can do that as in this aura. And we do find their true form is a Gaius. They must understand the nature of human beings, and this is meant to be a riddle from the Mother of All Shapeshifters. Additional Eldrin that we are going to be talking about later are Grifter Crows, the Chamrosh Stone Golems. So we are not forgetting of them. We're going to add them on later. And I want to thank everybody for listening, and just want to remind everybody that we post our new episode every Wednesday morning around 11 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 Central. And for those that are out on the Pacific Ocean, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are podcasting on all platforms that podcasts are played on. We're also on YouTube for video, and we want to make sure we give our thanks to our editor, Dan Mackison, for including pictures and links to everything. And if you want to reach out to us on Google, we are at frithguildpod@gmail.com or Facebook or other social medias at Frithguild Podcast. Pretty much we own the market on at Frithguild Podcast. So if you look us up like that, you'll find us somewhere. We want to thank the Frith Chronicles Wiki as well as a great resource. And again, link to everything is down below in the description section. And with that, we are ending this week's chapter, and we will look forward to hearing from you next time. Scott, you got anything else?
No, looking forward to it.
All right. I think we're getting close to the tourney.
Close. I thought it was earlier, but I was a bit anxious for it.
All right. We'll see you next time.